Hello, welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know that if you'll stay tuned to the broadcast today, that the Word of God will encourage and uplift you. Please stay tuned. I know God has a word for you today. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over my congregation. I know there are many today that are listening that have many needs in their life, and I know that, God, you're concerned for us all, and it is your will that we be blessed of you. And I ask, Father, that you touch my people today that are listening to this broadcast. And Lord, if they're the ones that are not born again, that you give them revelation knowledge that they must be born again. Let them know and understand that the only way into you, God the Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. Ye must be born again is the message today. Lord, help us, I pray. We pray for our country, God. We ask, God, that you bring revival in our land. Oh, God, before it's too late, I pray. Help us in our land today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have some statements today I want to make before I get into my scripture. You know, to see evil and not call it evil is evil. Let me repeat that. To see evil and not call it evil is evil. And we're seeing that in our country today. A lot of evil is going on, but people are afraid to speak up because they don't want to offend anyone. But when you hold your peace, when you're seeing wrong go on and you don't speak out against it, to see evil and not call it evil is evil. And let me tell you something, what you breed or join yourself with is what you're going to birth. We know that through DNA, but that's also in the spirit realm as well. What you join yourself with, it produces in your flesh. Jesus said what's in the heart will proceed out of a person. If you join yourself with the things of the world and evil, that's what's going to come out. I had a man tell me one time, he said, what the country needs now is more education. I said, mister, you can educate people, and that's not going to change them. See, schools inform and prisons reform, but only Jesus can transform. If the heart is not changed, what in a man's heart, you can educate him all you want to, but what's in his heart's going to come out, and he's going to act on that. And if he's got an evil and a wicked heart, that's how he's going to act, and that's how he's going to think. You can pass all the laws you want to pass, but that's not going to change people's hearts. They must have an experience with God, and through that can only come through knowing Jesus Christ. Also, so goes our nation and our churches. America is breeding death. We have already aborted over 55 million babies. We're breeding death in our country. Animals in slaughterhouses have more rights than unborn babies in America. Also, the homosexuality, and nobody's bashing homosexuals. Nobody's wanting to kill or destroy them. But let me tell you, through the homosexual agenda, they're not breeding life. They're breeding death, and they're only breeding a lifestyle that is anti-God and fixing it to where you won't even be able to speak out against the sin of homosexuality. It's pushing their agenda on you, and that is breeding death to the freedom of our speech. And let me tell you, in our country, what our country cannot overcome, they legalize it. That's why we have a generation of alcoholics and drug addicted people. We have bred a generation of drug dependents, a generation of zombies. We have also churches that will not preach or against sin or speak of hell and promote a New Age doctrine. And from it is born a nation of churches full of powerless, frail, lukewarm people who have a form of godliness but deny the power of God, and the Word of God says, from such turn away from. The Lord said, if you neither hot nor cold or lukewarm, He is going to spew you out of His mouth. And we have bred death in our churches because without repentance of sin, you have no new life, you have death. And we also have bred in our country a nation of adulterers who try out relationships. And we have produced drop-in parents. I'll come and stay with this parent 1 week and this one, and not giving our children our names, not being married, and producing a lifestyle of death. and our nation have traded God's Ten Commandments for the word of Hollywood standards and morals, and we have birthed a nation of riots and unrest that have caused crime and death to spiral downward. And sad to see, it has targeted our youth because we have denied the word of God and traded the word of God for the morals of Hollywood, and we're seeing the results of it even now. But people won't recognize it. They don't want to be called of God, and we're in trouble in our country. And if we don't wake up, it's going to be serious disaster in our land. A year ago, God told me that if fire of the repentance didn't come in the churches, that fire was going to show up in the streets. And children, we're seeing it right now. There's no fire of repentance in the churches, and it's showing up fire and rioting in our streets. Failure to repent of sin is despising the commandments of the Lord. That's what God told David when he was confronted of his sin. But in our country today, we have what Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And Proverbs 16:25 repeats that same verse. God repeated it a second time. He said, "The ways of man, what seems right in the eyes of man who is wicked in their hearts, is going to produce death." And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing death of a nation, America, death in our young people, afraid to let them go to school, and afraid what's going to happen on the streets. Even our police officers are afraid to keep the law, afraid to arrest people, afraid of what's going to happen to them if they do it. We have a society today that is going their own way and denying God's way, and it says here, the ways of death. You're producing the ways of death. Our economy and our nation is spiraling downward because we're denying the word of God. We have a generation of offended people. James 3:16 says, "Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every other evil work." There's strife and envy because people don't want to hear the truth. They're offended by the truth, and they don't want. And now you're afraid you offend this group or this group. We have a political correctness that's leading us into the pits of hell. Even Willie Nelson, the country western singer, wrote a song, "The world's going to hell and we're going to miss it when it's gone." Well, let me tell you, if the world's going to hell and you're in the world, guess who's going with it? Let me tell you, it's even the sinners in our land know something's wrong, something's got to be done. And let me tell you something, the new president that's coming up, if we get one, if they don't declare martial law, if we're going to keep on the same path, if God's people don't wake up and know that we must pray for our country, repent of sins, and let God come in and work in our hearts. The remedy for America is get back to church, get on your knees, and pray. Let me repeat that. The remedy for America is get back to church, get on your knees, and pray. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, "Only by pride cometh contention." When you get so prideful that people can't talk to you and tell you when you're wrong, you're going to fall, because pride goes just before fall. You can get a nation that's too prideful to call. We got all these groups that are trying to shut down and take down they took down the Ten Commandments, and they don't want the students to pray, don't even want the service people to have a Bible with them, don't want the chaplains to pray in Jesus' name, any other name but the name of Jesus. And then we wonder why we're in the trouble we're in. And now it's getting, they don't want you to fly the American flag in certain places because it might offend somebody. My Lord, this is America. Can't even fly our own flag. Let me tell you, we need to wake up, America. Our time is running out. Wake up, church. Let me tell you, if communism shuts down the churches where you can't go, what is the difference in you having a church and won't go? Is there a difference there? Some of you are laying in bed right now or sitting in your car going fishing or wherever. Where are you going? And you're not going to the house of God. What's the difference in you? You better go while the going's good, because if we keep on in our country the way it is now, it's going to come a time where you will not be able to assemble yourselves in churches. They'll shut them down. You say that's not going to happen? Oh, yes it is. You read the Word of God for yourself and you'll find out what's getting ready to happen. The theme song of hell is I Did It My Way. And you keep on doing it your way. You keep on going down your own path, and you're going to wake up one morning and find something in your house you wish you hadn't let in. And that's what happened in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And when we read this part of the scripture, I want to tell you what happened before Nathan the prophet came to King David. King David was in a place where he didn't go to battle. He stayed back when the kings would go to war. And he walked on the roof of his one evening and was looking over his city. And he saw a woman taking a bath named Bathsheba. And the Bible says that he lusted after her, and he called her into himself, and he lay with her. He had sex with her. Now, Bathsheba was a married woman, and her husband was one of David's most valuous men. He was a man of valor, and he was a man that fought in the army, and he was out fighting for King David right then. But David took his wife and lay with her. And the Bible says not many days after that Bathsheba sent word to David, said, I'm with child. And everybody would know that it was David's child or somebody else's child, because her husband was on the front lines fighting, knew it couldn't be his. So David plotted to bring Uriah in and got him drunk and tried to get him to go into his wife, and he wouldn't even go into the house. He said, how can I go into my wife when the armies of God is fighting on the front line? So finally, David come up with a plan to have Uriah killed. He sent a message by the hand of Uriah and gave it to his captain and said, put him on the front line and withdraw, that he'll be killed. He had the enemy to kill his own fine fighting man to cover up his own sin. Let me tell you, when you're sinning and you're covering it up, if it seemed right to you, why are you always making excuses for what you're doing? Why are you always asking questions about what you do? You know when you're doing wrong. Some of you are laying with other men's wives. Some of you are going with other women's husbands. Some of you are living with somebody that's not your wife or your husband, and you know it's wrong, and you're producing death in your life. You think you're getting away with it, but nothing that is going to be hid from God. God will bring it out into the light. You may think you've got it hid. Like David, when Uriah died, he bought Bathsheba in and took her as his wife, and she had the baby. But let me tell you something. In that process of time, the preacher showed up. The Word of God showed up. A man that was not afraid to stand up in the king's face and tell him, thus saith the Word of God. A man that had some spiritual backbone, that wasn't afraid to preach the Word of God, that wasn't afraid not to be politically correct. He went in and he shot him straight. He gave it to him straight. He gave it straight from the Word of God. And Nathan the prophet went in, and this is what he said to King David after David killed Uriah, after he took his wife and she had become pregnant, and he thought his sin was covered up and nobody would know about it. He thought it was all covered, but this is what happened in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verse 7. I want you to hear what Nathan the prophet came in and told David after he gave him a parable of somebody taking a sheep from a poor man when he had plenty. And David said, this man ought to die. And this is what Nathan said. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You're the man I'm talking about. You took from a man that only had one wife when you had many wives. You took the one. Thou art the man. Some of you, I'm saying to you, thou art the man, thou art the woman. You're in sin, you know you're in sin, and you better repent of it because it's knocking at your door. And like God told Cain, you better deal with it now, because if you don't, it's going to come in and rule over you and bring death and destruction, and you're going to pay a price you wish you hadn't had to pay. But if you repent now, turn it over to God, God will forgive you, and God will restore you, and God will help you. And Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man. Thus the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. God is reminding David of what all he done for him. And he said, I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I moreover would have given thee such and such things. God is telling David here, look, I gave you everything. I gave you the kingdom. I bought you out from under the hand of Saul. I gave you his household. I gave you his wife. And if that had been too little, I would have given you such and such thing. But you had to go out and do this evil behind what you thought, behind the back of God. Therefore, listen to what Nathan the prophet told David. Therefore, thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. God knew every single thing that David had done. He knew, he said, first of all, if you hadn't have done what you did it because you despised the commandment of God. You're doing what you're doing now because you say, well, I hadn't made my mind up. No, it's no undecided in the kingdom of God. You either for God or you're against him. You either despise his commandment or you love him and you're serving him. David had come in a place of backslidden heart when he'd done all of these things. When first look, he should have repented, but he let it go on. And when you let sin go on, it's going to take you further than you want to go. It's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. Beware of what you're doing. Repent of your sin. God loves you today. He sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin, but you must repent. You must ask forgiveness of your sin. And this is what God told David. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed that thou hast given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also is born unto thee shall surely die. Oh, what a price David had to pay. When David repented of his sin, God forgave him. And David prayed, when you read in the book of Psalms, he prayed that God would create in him a right spirit and a clean heart, that he would cast away his iniquity, and God did. But he opened the door for sin seeds to be sown in his family. And the sword never left David's house. He had trouble with his son. One of his sons raped his daughter. David never dealt with it or spoke against it. And then another son, Absalom, killed that brother. And then Absalom caused David to flee from the kingdom, and even took his own wives and put them on the rooftop and had sex with them before all of the nation of Israel. And then God had to deal with this matter. Let me tell you something. You don't know what you're doing when you're walking in sin. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And today God has sent me to tell you because thou art the woman and thou art the man. You know you're doing wrong. You know you're sinning. You know you're neglecting God. Oh, stop it before it becomes a great disaster in your house. Stop it before it comes. I have family members that I love so much with all of my heart, but all through the years they've had trouble with alcoholism, and you would think the children that was raised up in that wouldn't touch it, but they have gone that same way and gotten into drugs as well, and that's not just in my family, it's in all of our families, but let me tell you, what you join yourself with, not only is it going to produce fruit in your life, but you're going to pass it on to your children. You say, well, David repented and it was all right and everything. Well, ask his son that died. David lost a baby because of the sin that he had committed. Let me tell you, sin is passed down. When you walk and your children are watching you do the things that you're doing, you can't expect them to live any other way. It's one thing for you yourself to go to hell, but it's another thing for you yourself to take your children into hell with you. They've fallen in your footsteps. And the Bible told, when God come up to Nathan the prophet in God's word, it says you despise the commandments of God. Did you despise the blessings of God? God's been good to you. God's loved you. God sent his son to die for you. And you're hard-headed and you're stubborn and you think you got plenty of time. But I'm talking to people right now and I'm telling you, you think you got a long life, but you don't. You don't know when you're going to breathe your last breath. You don't know when your heart's going to beat its last time. And you're going to stand before just God. And the question is not going to be what the preacher done or what the church member done or what so-and-so done. But the question is going to be, have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? And that's the only thing that's going to cause you to pass into eternity in heaven, is if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm begging you today to repent while you still have time. Call on God while you still got time. If without God, you're dead while you yet still live. You might be making money. You might be riding around in your fine car and your nice clothes. But let me tell you, death, you'll take none of it with you. You're going to leave it all behind for somebody else. And the only thing, when you stand before God, it's going to be nobody's record but your own. It's not going to be your mama's record. It's going to be not going to be your daddy's record. It's going to be nobody's record but your own. You're going to stand before God, and there's the books will be open, and if you've not been born again, and if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open, and when you go to hell, nobody's going to be able to pray you out of it. We're not going to be able to preach you out of it. There's not an expiration date on your time in hell. You don't get paroled from hell. The doors are not open in hell. It's an eternal damnation, but it's your choice. God does not send you to hell. You choose to go there yourself, but you also can choose life and choose the abundant life through Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm begging you to do right now. I'm begging you to call on the name of Jesus. Be born again and ask Jesus to come into your heart. You've not committed a sin too vile or too ugly that he won't forgive you. The Bible says that he would in no wise cast anyone away that came to him. If you come with a repentant heart and ask forgiveness of your sins, he will forgive you. He'll write your name down in glory. And when you leave this world, even after David had repented of his sins, he was still called a man after God's own heart. You see, we all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. But the thing is, we all have not repented, and we all have not asked forgiveness. That's the key. You must be born again. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you'll never know until you try him. You'll never know how sweet it is to walk with Jesus. I've been a Christian now for many, many years, and I have to tell you, it's sweeter now than it was the day I accepted him. Oh, what I still remember the night I went to an old-fashioned altar, and I got out and I asked, I said, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. And when I said that, the burdens of my soul rolled away. Oh, and I tell you, it was wonderful. I knew when my sins had been washed away. I knew when I had been pardoned and forgiven throughout eternity, for my sins would never be brought up against me anymore. And I tell you, it was sweet that night. But every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every moment with Jesus, it gets sweeter and it gets sweeter. And it will be the same for you. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I beg you to repent. I beg you to get under God's protection because Jesus is coming back. He's going to take the church out of here. And you're going to be facing 7 years of the most hell on earth you've ever seen. Called the tribulation time if you're not born again. It's all lined up. Prophecy is already lined up. We're getting ready to go into a one world government, a one world religion. As I speak right now, there are Christians in other countries being beheaded and being killed and tortured and losing everything they got because they're calling on the name of Jesus. We're headed for that one world religion. I beg you right now, repent of your sins. Get under, not get out from under divine judgment, and get under divine protection. And that divine protection is Jesus Christ. God told Noah, in the days of when it was so evil, the Bible says that every imagination in a man's mind was evil continually in the days of Noah. But God had a way of escape for the preacher of righteousness and his family. God had him to build an ark. And when the heavens opened and the flood waters came down, they were glad they heeded God's word and got on the ark. But let me tell you, that ark was open to all mankind. But they, all mankind, would not receive it. They went their ways, what seemed right in their own ways, and the way thereof was death and destruction. Oh, I'm begging you, that ark I'm talking about right now is Jesus Christ, the great ship of Zion. Oh, the good old gospel ship. There's nothing like serving Jesus. It's not hard to serve Jesus. It's hard to live wicked. It's hard to live in deceit. It's hard living a drug addict's life. It's hard living an alcoholic. It's hard living and seeing that you're taking your children down a road of death and destruction. That's the hard way. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. I don't care what kind of clothes you got on. If you're a transgressor, you're living a hard life. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. The way of a transgressor is hard. You must be born again. Oh, I'd rather live, as the old song says, in a deep, dark grave than to live in a house of gold and deny my God and lose my soul. What have you chosen today? Choose Jesus before it's too late. Receive Him as your Savior. Call on Him right now and ask Him to come into your heart and save your soul, and He will. Ye must be born again. God bless you today, and thank you for listening to the broadcast. All of you that are faithful to listen, I ask that you keep praying for me. And if you have a prayer request, write me, and I promise I'll pray for you. But let me tell you, we got to join together. We got to pray like we've never prayed before. We're in a serious time. Oh, but let me tell you, don't be dismayed if you're born again. The Bible says when you see these things happen, look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. I know that Jesus is getting ready to come back, and I'm making the cry now, be born again before it's too late. God bless you, and thank you. Thank you again for listening to the broadcast.